Hello again, everyone. Welcome to another episode of J-Talk Extra Time. It's a midweek mini-pod, and I'm John Steele. I'm flying solo again. My job over the next 50 minutes is to round up the midweek action from J2. A full round of games took place on Wednesday night, and after a busy week at work, I finally had enough time to catch up on the highlights and write down some of my thoughts. So here we go. So Wednesday night was round 28. We see Fukuoka still top of the league, but their 12-match winning streak is over. That's because they drew 0-0 away at 14th-placed Machida in the Wednesday night game. Fukuoka lived dangerously at times in this match. Jong Chung-gun hit the crossbar for Machida early on, and the visiting goalkeeper Masaki Murakami had to make a great save from Mizuki Ando in the match as well. So I think a draw was probably a fair result overall. I don't think either side will be too disappointed. It's a good point for Machida, obviously, against a top-of-the-table side that's bang in form. And Fukuoka, if you've won 12 matches in a row, I don't think you can be too disappointed when you draw a game for a change. So Fukuoka, top of the league. But second place Tokushima have closed the gap now to just a single point behind Fukuoka. That's because Tokushima cruised to a 3-0 victory away at Yamaguchi, who slipped back down to second bottom. Things started to go wrong for Yamaguchi in the last 5 minutes of the first half in this match. Their Brazilian midfielder Henick, who was playing at centre-back for this one, scored an unfortunate own goal when he was trying to block a cross from Kazuki Nishiya, the ball perfectly looping over Yamaguchi's goalkeeper Genki Yamada. And in first half stoppage time, the Tokushima left back Diego raided forward and set up Yuki Kakita to make it 2-0 at half time. Tokushima's win was sealed just after the hour, and Diego again with the scoring pass assisting Nishiya, who swept in the third goal. I think this could be an important win for Tokushima psychologically, their first win in three matches. As I mentioned, it closes the gap at the top to just a single point on Fukuoka. Could be psychologically quite important. Behind Tokushima, Nagasaki have leapfrogged Kitakyushu into third place, but they're 5 points behind Tokushima at the moment. Nagasaki hammered J2's bottom club, Ehime, 4-1 on the road at Ninjinia Stadium. No goals in the first half here, although Seiya Maekuma did hit the post for Nagasaki towards the end of the first period, and Maekuma was involved in a couple of other important incidents in the second half. He wasn't to be denied, and it was Maekuma who fired Nagasaki in front early on in the second half, a thumping half volley from outside the penalty area in the 52nd minute. Now, Ehime were level just 60 seconds later, though. Nagasaki's goalkeeper, Toru Takagiwa, had some kind of brain fart. It's the only way I could describe it. He just wandered out to the edge of his six-yard box, and that allowed Koki Arita to head Ehime's equaliser into an open goal. Very, very weird goal, that one. Now, Nagasaki went back in front with, in my opinion, a fortunate penalty. Their rookie midfielder, Ryo Makida, went on a great run into the Ehime penalty area. But then he, again, in my opinion only, he manufactured the slightest of touches on a defender's leg and went down. The referee awarded a penalty, and Kida stepped up to score. For me, it was a dive, but opinions may vary. Nagasaki, so were 2-1 up at that point, but they made the game safe with two late goals. Firstly, a delightful chip from Takumi Nagura in the 83rd minute, really good goal. And there was a bit more controversy 3 minutes later. Ehime had their rookie goalkeeper Taichi Kato playing in this game. Masahiro Okamoto, the usual number one, who's been in pretty terrible form all season, dropped at last. Taichi Kato got a game, but he had to rush out to the edge of the penalty area to close down Maekuma, who then, for me, went down, kind of simulating a tackle. Looked as if he'd been shot by a sniper, but whether there was minimal contact and Maekuma was making the most of it, whether it was a dive, I'm not sure. Anyway, the goalkeeper Kato got a yellow card for his trouble, and Keiji Tamada, who'd come on as a sub for Nagasaki, scored the resulting free kick. Really beautiful free kick. Stark contrast the way the free kick was won and how it was dispatched. Brilliant free kick, and Tamada scoring in his 500th J-League appearance. Great way to celebrate. Capping off a 4-1 win with a brilliant free kick. It was also a first win in three games for Nagasaki, and like Tokushima, you feel that psychologically that could be quite important as we head for the end of season promotion running. Yeah, Nagasaki winning 4-1 at Ehime in the end. Now, I mentioned that Kita Kyushu are now fourth, but their poor run of form continued. They lost 1-0 away at Kyoto, and that leaves them 3 points behind Nagasaki and a full 8 points off the two promotion places at the top. It was Keiya Sento back at Kyoto on loan from Yokohama Marinos, of course, who scored the crucial goal. He was put clean through by Peter Utaka. The Kita Kyushu players were very upset that Sento wasn't given offside. It was a very tight call. The angle, as per usual, wasn't particularly conclusive on the replays. I think we can say if VAR was involved, it probably would have been given offside, but if anybody with any common sense saw it, I think they'd probably give the benefit of the doubt to Sento and let the goal stand. So it was 1-0 after 21 minutes in this game. Peter Utaka had a couple of chances to add to the score, so I think we can say all in all Kyoto just about shaded it and deserved the win. For Kita Kyushu, yeah, I mentioned their poor form. No wins in any of their last eight matches now. And for Kyoto, this win ended a run of three straight defeats and moves them up slightly in the table to seventh, although promotion still looks like a tall order for Kyoto this season. Albirex Niigata are still fifth, but they had to come from behind to draw at home against Fajiano Okayama. This game finished 1-1. Kind of weird game, no goals until the 81st minute when Niigata centre-back Yuzuru Shimada, a player who's on loan from Nagasaki, fairly comically lost possession when he was the last man. He was hustled off the ball by Kazuki Saito, substitute striker for Okayama. And Saito robbed Shimada and went on to go clean through and score. So Okayama went 1-0 up in the 81st minute here. But Niigata got an equaliser just 3 minutes before full-time. Daichi Tagami, the right-sided defender, who's impressive again. His header came back off the post for Niigata, and Motohiko Nakajima was on hand to fire the ball into the net for the equaliser. So, yeah, that game finishing 1-1. For Okayama, they're down in 15th place, so the season's virtually over for them, but they are five games unbeaten now, so they're in a decent run of form, despite being at the wrong end of the table, I suppose, in 15th. Now, 6th place Kofu went down to a surprise 1-0 defeat away at Gunma, a win for Gunma that moves them up in the table to 18th. It was Genki Omae who finished off a sweeping counter-attack to win the game for Gunma in the 53rd minute. You don't associate Gunma with sweeping counter-attacks, so it's worth checking out this goal on a highlights reel if you can. Good goal from Genki Omae to make it 1-0. It's also worth watching the highlights because Gunma defender Daihachi Okamura nearly scored an incredible own goal late on, one of the heaviest back passes I think I've ever seen, but luckily the goalkeeper was able to scramble back and rescue the situation. So yeah, it finished Gunma 1, Kofu 0. For Kofu, they're in 6th, which sounds good, but with 14 games left in the season, they're 13 points off the promotion places. I don't know if... I think they're probably too far back now to make up the ground, but we'll see. Tokyo Verdy and Jubilo Iwata, that's the teams in 8th and 10th, respectively. They slugged out a 0-0 draw in the capital at Ajinomoto. Not too many incidents to mention. Both sides kind of went for the jugular in the last 50 minutes. I watched the last 50 minutes of this game live on the night, and I really enjoyed it. But watching back the highlights, I'm not sure why. Perhaps I was just really tired and was glad to be watching anything. But it was 0-0, but both sides did do their best to try and score. Yamagata in 9th place now drew 1-1 away at 13th placed Mito. Now, Yamagata came into this game on a run of three straight wins, and they seemed to be heading for a fourth win in a row when the substitute Shuhei Otsuki volleyed home Taiki Kato cross. That was in the 78th minute. Kato was also on as a substitute in this game, so Yamagata took the lead with just 12 minutes left. However, the lead only lasted for about 2 minutes. Yamagata's keeper, Akihiro Sato, could only parry a shot from Kazuma Yamaguchi, and it landed in the path of Shunpei Fukuhori, who netted his very first J-League goals. If his name sounds unfamiliar, yeah, that's because he's never been on a score sheet before. So I think Sato, the goalkeeper, disappointed that he didn't handle that shot from Yamaguchi better. But it finished Mito 1, Yamagata 1. Tochigi SC are up to 11th, and they thrashed 19th placed Ryukyu 4-1 at Tochigi Green Stadium on Wednesday night. Tochigi went in front in the 5th minute. It was Shota Sakaki who I think was trying to flick on a corner kick at the near post, but his header just ended up having a sort of perfect arc and going into the back of the net. So Tochigi were 1-0 up early doors, but Ryukyu were level at the break. After another header, it was Keigo Numata who headed them level on the half hour. So 1-1 at the interval. Now, Shota Sakaki was lucky again in the 56th minute. Ryukyu missed two or three chances to clear the danger on the edge of the penalty area. We've seen it many times this season, I'm afraid, from a Ryukyu perspective. Hayato Kurosaki, Tochigi winger, took a shot, which hit Sasaki and was deflected past the Ryukyu goalkeeper. It was Junto Taguchi in goal for Ryukyu for this game. So it was 2-1, quite fortunately, I think, in the 56th minute. But Kurosaki was then involved in Tochigi's other two goals. Just 2 minutes after that deflected Sakaki goal made it 2-1, Kurosaki crossed into the box for Toshiki Mori to head in Tochigi's third. And Kurosaki was assisting again in the 74th minute. His low cross into the box allowed Mori to score his second and sweep in Tochigi's fourth. So Tochigi don't win 4-1 very often. I think they'll have really enjoyed that comprehensive victory over Ryukyu on Wednesday night, especially because it's a first win in 6 games for Tochigi, whereas Ryukyu have lost 3 of the last 4, and again, defensively, kind of a rabble, especially in away games at the moment. Zweigen Kanazawa are down to 12th. This is because they lost 2-0 away at Jeff Chiba, a result which lifts Chiba slightly up into 16th. We should mention at this point the league table's incredibly tight, kind of in the middle. There's only 5 points separating the team in 17th place and the team in 8th. So I'm talking about teams in 12th and 16th place. You know, they're all kind of bunched together. The actual league placings don't matter too much right now, I guess. The turning point in this game was right at the end of the first half for me. Kanazawa's impressive youngster, Raisei Shimazu, should really have put Kanazawa ahead, but his shot hit the inside of the post and came out. And Jeff immediately went down to the other end of the pitch and scored a cross from Shuto Kojima, headed in by Keita Yamashita. So, yeah, Jeff 1-0 up at the break in this one. Kanazawa managed to hit the woodwork again. They hit the post in the second half through Rodolfo, who was on as a sub, I think. And then a late goal from another substitute, Issei Takahashi, sealed the 3 points for Jeff. And Jeff, like Tochigi, were winning for the first time in 6 matches, so I think they'll have enjoyed that one. They'll also have enjoyed the clean sheet, because they've been as rare as rocking horse shit, haven't they, for Jeff this year, let's be honest. For Kanazawa, it's 2 defeats in a row, and I think they'll be ruining those missed chances, you know, hitting the frame of the goal in this game. Could have been very different if they'd capitalised on those chances. Last, and probably least then, from the midweek round, Matsumoto and Omiya drew 1-1 at the SunPro Alwyn Stadium, a result which doesn't help either team much. Matsumoto stayed 20th, Omiya in 17th. Omiya got the perfect start in this match, though, with a penalty inside the first 11 minutes. Their Bosnian forward, Nermin Haskic, who I'd forgotten was a member of the squad, to be honest, haven't seen him for ages, he was starting up front for Omiya in this game, and he was able to close down Hossel and Harry. The Matsumoto centre-back, Yuya Hashiuchi. Hashiuchi ended up losing the ball inside his own penalty area. And then Haskic, you know, to say that he tangled with Hashiuchi is pushing it. He went down, Haskic went down very theatrically, made sure that the referee thought there was contact. So he earned a penalty, as we say. And then yeah, Haskic got up and scored it himself. So a very soft penalty slash dive from Haskic, but earning the penalty for Omiya, which he scored. So Omiya 1-0 up early on, but Matsumoto drew level 7 minutes into the second half, thanks to Toyofumi Sakano. He touched home on the volley across from Takayuki Mae. I think Omiya's goalkeeper, Takashi Kasahara, was beaten a bit too easily here. I think when he sees the replay, he'll be annoyed with himself, because it wasn't a particularly fierce strike from Sakano. It just kind of went in at the you know, an angle that Kasahara didn't seem ready for. He got a hand to it, but he couldn't keep it out. Omiya did rally, though. They hit the post twice, trying to go back ahead. Shunsuke Kikuchi hit the post. Yuto Mikado as well right at the end. But it finished 1-1. For Matsumoto, 3 defeats and a draw in their last 4 matches. They haven't really had that new manager bounce that they were looking for when they changed coaches. And for Omiya, 5 games without a win. And I think, next time Stuart's free and we can get together and talk, we're almost on the verge of having another chat about Omiya, I think. But they did do everything they could to win this game. I think, hitting the post a couple of times, they could easily have won it on another day, I think. Okay, so that's a wrap-up of the midweek fixtures, the round 28 games. Looking ahead to the weekend coming up, and probably some of these games might already be on or finished by the time you listen to this. But yeah, it's round 29 this weekend. Just 2 games on Saturday, October the 24th. They both kick off at 2 p.m. It's Yamagata hosting Tokyo Verdy and Kanazawa hosting Okayama. On Sunday, October the 25th, the rest of the weekend fixtures, plenty of big games at 2 p.m. We have Omiya hosting Nagasaki. That's third place visiting 17th, but also Omiya manager Takuya Takagi once again coming up against one of his old sides. It could be interesting. Kofu host Machida, that's sixth place against 14th. Tokushima take on Niigata at Pokeri Sweat Stadium as well, second versus fifth. That could be a good one. And the leaders, Fukuoka, are at home. They welcome Jeff Chiba to the is it called Ekimai? Ooh, forgotten the name. Level 5 stadium, as was. Best Denki Stadium, that sounds right. Anyway, Fukuoka at home, they're hosting Jeff Chiba, first against 16th, and also Shigetoshi Hasebe, Fukuoka's manager, coming up against the team where he spent a lot of time, a short spell as manager as well. At 3 p.m. on Sunday, Iwata host Gunma, Yamaguchi take on Mito, and fourth place and out of form Kita Kyushu host 20th placed and out of form Matsumoto. So if that game finishes 0-0, I wouldn't be surprised. 4 p.m. on Sunday, Ehime host Tochigi, and there's one late game, 6:30, Ryukyu hosting Kyoto, and that rounds up the round 29 games coming up over the weekend. Okay, everyone, thanks for listening. Apologies again for the ruck of solo pods recently. Real life's been getting in the way of Stu and I's dreams of podcasting together for every round, and the sort of hectic J-League schedule hasn't helped. But I hope you enjoyed the roundup and the weekend preview. Thanks as always for listening, downloading. We all here at the pod really appreciate it, especially the patrons. You're helping us pay the podcast bills, the server bills. We appreciate that. And hope you enjoyed the show and enjoy the football over the weekend. We'll be back soon, hopefully not just me. And bye for now. Have a good one.